where you at?
I don't care what you're facing. I want you to know that you can live on top of the world. What is your world about? The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. I am Roderick Owensby, and I am your host for taking control of your life. And yesterday, last night, whether we had a wonderful time with our friend out of Chicago, Illinois, Queen Khadijah. Fantastic, awesome interview with her and her spoken word. And I'm going to be releasing that interview on Facebook and YouTube. And I want you all to know that you that are gifted and you that have relationships with God and you that have unique talents, call me. I would love to talk to you. Actually, you can call in 818-431-8553. My baby sister Tasha is my special guest along with Sylvia Browning. She's going to be with us later on. And Tasha Owensby, very talented, anointed woman of God. And she's working on her project, her CD, and I want you all to be blessed by her. But she has an anointing in the word of the Lord, and she's going to be sharing, discussing real life issues through the word of God. So I'm looking forward to my baby sister, Tasha Renee Owensby. The Lord is so good. He's worthy to be praised. You know, life can present you challenges, and it's going to take the presence of God for any of us to make it through. You know, times, I never say times are tough. Times have challenged our faith, and your faith have to meet that challenge. Faith in God produces the miraculous, and when we believe God, special things will take place. I'm going to let you hear Queen Khadijah as she shares a message. And I know you will enjoy this. And later on, we're going to be talking to Tasha Renee Owensby. God bless you, and I'll be right back.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Beautiful Master, wonderful Savior, He's full of hope and glory. That will always be my praise because I used to have a different story. You see, I used to be stressed and depressed and down with no confidence, spiritually unstable and emotionally petulant. And then I read I have an everlasting name and that God is consistent. He knew me before I was formed in my mother's belly. His love is persistent. His love is not contingent on my status or my rank. He loves me the same whether I'm a sinner or a saint. I just have to learn to walk by faith. It was a little challenging at first because I didn't know my place. But that's why now I can praise Him for His grace. Because since I'm a new woman, my past has been erased. And since God is not a man, He doesn't throw my mistakes in my face. They've been replaced with a covenant of truth. He redeemed my life from destruction and has restored my youth. From now in my prosperity, I shall not be moved. I've been taken from the belly of the beast, and I'm full of virtue. The angels are encamped all around me. You can just see their residue. My life is living proof to God's word being active. The enemy tried to keep me sin conscious. My flesh had my spirit captive, but since I have an expected end, I'm no longer distracted. And since the enemy doesn't triumph over me, the old life is no longer attractive. So now I am beautified like a dignified bride, purified by a crucified Christ, qualified by a prophesied life. Make no mistakes about it. I have been intensified.
Queen Khadija, Katrina and I love her ministry. Very unique gift that God has given her. Well, I want you to know that today is a powerful day. As I said, my special guest, Tasha Renee Owensby, and she's here with us. And Tasha, how are you?
Hey, how are you? Praise God. Bless him.
Praise God. I'm so glad to have you on. And Tasha has so many unique talents and anointings, and God has given her revelations in the Word of God. And I'm going to be with her for some time, and she's going to be with me, and she's going to be sharing with you. So I want you to tell a friend, tell them right now that Tasha Renee Owensby is going to be sharing in the Word of God, and we're going to be talking about her music and her life, and there's been many, many blessings that is bestowed upon her, and we're going to get into that after this. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Tasha Renee Owensby. Stay with me. It's going to be excited. You're going to be excited about what God has for you this hour.
Everything seems dark, right? With the ketchup up had my mind. Fell real good, never knew you would. Take me to a place that I don't want to go. Gotta get away from you. Making me do things I don't want to do. It's my life, I gotta live it right. Mess up once, I can do twice. The door, I'm through with you. Don't mind me walking. Got somebody who's walking beside me.
You have it, ladies and gentlemen. That was Tasha, my baby sister. I'm somebody. How are you doing, Tasha?
Oh, I'm blessed. And you?
I'm doing wonderful. Go ahead and tell the people about your music and tell us about your ministry. I want the people to really get a grasp of what God is doing in your life. That music is so fantastic. Go ahead and share with the people what God is doing for you and about your music and ministry.
Well, I've been singing ever since I was a little girl, and I have a heart to minister to especially women, broken women, that's been maybe abused and neglected and rejected by society because of maybe the calling that God has put on their lives, and the enemy knows who to attack because he doesn't want to see the women of God go forth in ministry and in the calling that God would have them to do. And so God has given me a heart to minister and to make songs to inspire men and women to lift them up and let them know that they can do all things through Christ that strengthens them no matter what the situation is. And I minister all over Indianapolis, and I just love to minister and sing, and not just to sing, but to, like I said, to minister to people that are broken, people that need to be put back together, and hope that my music that I share will do that, that God gives me. And that's just what it's about, ministry. It's about ministry.
Yes.
It's about helping someone know that God loves them and that they can do whatever God has placed in their hearts to do, whatever. Some people have a ministry to go out and just help kids that are abused, maybe, or go out and share with women that are maybe living on the streets, and just whatever it is, you need to do what God has called you to do, and you can do it. So that's what it's about to me.
That's awesome, Tasha. As I was listening to I'm Somebody, you know, there are a lot of people who feel down and out and feel neglected and feel abused. And how would you minister to people that feels like, okay, I've been serving God for years, but I don't see results? There are people like that, and I've been in the church, and the church, I've been hurt by the church, I've been ostracized, and there are people like that. Tasha, this I'm Somebody, the title really struck me, because you can start off, if you want to, by how did this song come about, and then relate it to your ministry for the people that are listening.
Well, the song came about one day I was being ministered to, and someone was mentioning a particular evangelist, mentioned a song that the Williams brothers had put out years ago called I'm Just a Nobody Trying to Tell Everybody About Somebody Who Could Save Everybody. Yeah. And they flipped that thing. They said, wait a minute, I don't like that song because I am somebody.
Praise God. I like that.
Yeah, we're somebody. We're important to God. Somebody simply means someone of importance.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people out there feel that they're not important to God because man have made, in so many churches, people feel like they're not important, maybe because they don't have a position in the church or they don't have a title in the church. They're simply just church warmers or bench warmers in the church, and they're not going forth as God would have them to, because maybe a particular pastor or someone in the church may be jealous. You have a lot of jealousy in the church and envy and of the gifts of God that he has set in the women and men of God. And they feel like they can't go forth. So therefore they go out feeling like they're not important. But the devil is alive. We all are important to God, and we have an important part, a role to play in the things that God has called us to do. And that song came from my innermost being, my heart, because I've been through relationships. I've been through a marriage that was not so good. I was in somewhat of abused marriage. I was in a marriage that I felt my esteem had dropped so low it could go. I didn't feel important. I was raped of my importance.
Wow.
And the Lord gave me this song even coming out of my marriage. I'm somebody. The Lord has picked me up and brought me and elevated me to know, put me up in a high place to know that you are somebody. And the only way that you can do that is through Jesus Christ. You can't find that in a building. You can't find that in a church, in an organization. You can only find that in Jesus, in your personal relationship with Jesus. That's the conclusion, pretty much, of where the song came from.
Now you said some very vital things. Very vital things. The people, and you used your life as an example to women and men who have been hurt. But as a woman, I'm sure there are women who are listening to you and being touched by the anointing in your life. You're not just a psalmist, a singer, a songwriter, but you have something to say from the presence of God. And I can feel the anointing as you are talking. And as I interview you, I'm not looking at you as my sister. I'm honoring the anointing in your life because you're really hitting it very hard. And people are listening, and they need to know that. Tasha, take us down a journey in your life. What brought you to the place where you are in God?
Wow. Well, I had just got to my lowest point, and I was running from God. I was doing everything I was big enough and bad enough to do, and I was constantly running from God. And in my running, I ran into the hand of the enemy.
Wow.
Ran right into the hand of the enemy, and that's the thing, that it's a trick. When you run from God, you're running right into the hands of the enemy. And the enemy just took seemingly my life and just shattered it with relationship after relationship, trying to seek out love.
Yes.
Trying to seek it out through, you know, man after man after man, and not seemingly finding it. Thinking that that was my healing, that was my covering, that was going to make my life better, because there was a void. There was a void there. And I could not fulfill it no matter how much I tried. I had struggles, just mind struggles of homosexuality, mind battles, trying to overtake my life. And I've come so close in indulging in. I've come that, I mean, so close, a second close, indulging in homosexuality acts. And God seemingly did not let me go over that place. He didn't let me go to that specific place. He only allowed it to be a mind battle.
Come on.
And that's the great thing about God. I could have been a homosexual. I could have been a lesbian, bisexual in the outward. I could have performed the act, but God did not allow me to do that. And that's because
Praise
of
God.
His grace and His mercy, not because Tasha's perfect, Tasha's good. There's no good thing in Tasha, but God would not let me go that far. And that I appreciate, and that does not make me better than someone that has went that far. It only simply means that I'm a testimony to say that you don't have to be in that situation. You don't have to be a homosexual. You have the power. You don't know you have the power, but that power belongs to God. And if you find that power, God will give you the ability to stop what you're doing, to stop what you're doing, and to surrender to his will, and to know that he is a God that can keep you, that is able to keep you from falling, and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God is able. So as going through that path, going through that time in my
mm-hmm.
life for years,
mm-hmm.
that struggle, God brought me to a place where I no longer surrender to those mind battles.
Mm.
I surrendered to the will of God. And I went, like I said, went through a bad marriage, you know, and where I was not loved. I was not appreciated. I was not built up. I was not edified. And for years, I searched and searched and could not find what I was looking for because it was in God. And so I finally got to the place where I got tired. I got tired and fed up and said, you know what? I'm tired of this struggle. I'm tired of this pain. I'm tired of this hurt. I'm surrendering to the will of God. And I surrender. And God has made me whole. God has freed me from that yoke of bondage. And he loves me. And he cares for me. So I trust him. I trust him.
I am so moved by the transparency that you have, Tasha, and the anointing at the same time. You said something that brought Romans 1 to my mind, dealing with these lifestyles. And, of course, we do not condemn any man for homosexuality or any woman for lesbianism. But I will say this. The scripture says they did not like to retain God in their mind. I want to flip something because you said something that was so powerful. They did not like to retain God in their mind. So God turned them over to their own lust. Now, let's deal with the heterosexuals in the church. Praise God. You got some people who call themselves, I quote, straight. But they're just as perverted as people who are engaging in these lifestyles in the church. Now, let's get it straight. The church is holy. The church is the bride of Christ. But see, here's the issue. The church is simply consists of those who are called out. But the kingdom are for those who are called in. We have a lot of folk who are called out. That's jealous, that's hateful, that's religious. You see, Jesus' greatest enemy was church folk.
Yes.
Talk about that, Tasha. Praise God.
That's awesome. Amen. You're right. The church is... church folk, and I would say church folk, not talking about saints.
No.
They could be the worst, your worst enemy. We talk about the devil is a lie, you know, but the church folk are lies because they can sometimes be full of the devil and they can judge you and run people away that are hurting, that are bound by things that they know not of. Church folk, you walk in some of these churches and they look at you funny like, why are you here? And I don't understand that. The scripture says the love of many shall wax cold. And I see that every day in a lot of churches. They don't embrace you anymore. They're not happy to see you anymore. It's like they'd rather see you going than coming.
Mm.
And God is not calling for, he's calling for a church without a spot or wrinkle. He's calling for a righteous church, a loving church, because God is love. And we have no right not to love anyone.
That's right.
And it is our job, our duty to love with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That lets me know that you're not worried about drawing anyone when you're not loving. You don't care about drawing anyone. So you cannot have the love of God. If you don't have a heart for souls, You cannot have the love of God. This thing is about winning souls. And it lets me know that you don't have any wisdom, because the Bible says the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of I believe it says the beginning of wisdom is knowledge.
Mm-hmm. The fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes, go
ahead.
So
it lets me know you don't even have the fear of God if you're not loving.
That's true.
You don't have wisdom if you're not loving. He that winneth souls are wise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's your foolishness that causes you not to love.
Mm. Mm. That's good.
You're
good.
Foolish. Mm-hmm. So it's just praying time. It's just praying time. And that's what I would say concerning the church folk.
I remember we were in a meeting. As a matter of fact, I believe it was our 31st or 2nd year in ministry, to God be the glory. And I remember Katrina and I talk about this all the time. You ministered and you spoke a word. It sticks with us. And you stood up and you worshiped God. And then you dealt with how the reality of the love of God. You said, God loved me. And you used the term, and it was so powerful. You said, I'm naked before him. And see, a lot of people can't handle that. They think it's X-rated. But you were dealing with a revelation. You know, I've never seen so many weak-minded, weak-hearted Christians in my life. You know, but you dealt with that, and you dealt with how God just began to deal with Tasha about the love of God, and you presented yourself before him. He treated you as a bride. Talk about that. Do you remember that moment?
Yes, I remember. I was speaking of a natural nakedness.
Yes.
Between a bride and her husband, because
Come
God
on.
Is my husband.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not ashamed to be naked before him.
Ooh, powerful.
And to be naked before him is for him to uncover everything about Tasha. For him, he knows everything about me, inside and out. And he sees it. And he doesn't have a problem with it. God likes to see our flaws. We're not perfect. So to become naked before him is to show him our imperfection.
My goodness.
And he wants to see our imperfections so that he can perfect us. And we know that he is the one that did it. He wants to perfect us.
Yes.
But if we are ashamed to show him, how can we become perfected? So God has taught me never to be ashamed, never to be ashamed of what you've gone through or your imperfections, your flaws, your mistakes, your mess-ups, your hang-ups, your addictions, your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what you're doing. Don't be ashamed, because God wants to see it all. He wants to see it all.
Yes.
And he wants you to know that he's able to do exceedingly above all that you could ask or think, according to that power. He's able to clean you up. He's able to wash you up. He's able to take anything, any brokenness, any failures you may have, any addiction you may have. He's able to take it and as if it was never there, as if it never existed, because he's God. So that's what I was trying to express, the love of God.
Yes.
He doesn't
yes.
care. He doesn't care. Doesn't care about what people and man may say about you. You know, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed, whatever it is. He wants you to come. Come naked before him.
You know, in the, Tasha, in the Garden of Eden, we noticed that the first thing that happened after sin was shame. Shame. And they hid themselves. You know, there are what, over 6 billion people on planet Earth, praise God. That's a lot of nakedness. Glory to God. There's a lot of people getting naked, and they're not at a naked beach. So people are getting naked before anybody, before a man. A man will get naked before a man if he's doing that thing. A woman will get naked before a woman. Folk get naked before other folk that are not married. And I've been naked before people I had no business being naked with. Nakedness. Yes, I said it, nakedness. Bucking naked. But you know what's amazing to me? We're ashamed to be naked before God.
God.
All this nakedness going on, this nakedness going on.
Yeah.
But it's time to be naked before God. And you and see, religion would have you afraid to be naked. Because of the spiritual paparazzi. Mm-hmm. Look at him now. A man don't become a man of God until he's found in sin. And then the women become, I don't know, they kind of light on the women, praise God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I am enjoying my baby sister. I'll be right back. Let's listen to her song again, I'm Somebody. If you are feeling like you are nobody, that is a lie from the pit of hell. I'll be back with Tasha. Check this out, I'm Somebody.
Everything seems dull. With the catch the pad for my fell real good, never knew you would take me to a place that I don't wanna go. Gotta get away from you, making me do things I don't wanna do. It's my life, gotta live it right. That's the once I can do twice. Been down this road, unlock the door.
This is my baby sister, Tasha. I'm Somebody.
Didn't even need a cell phone or a lookout. You just spoke a word and that was that. Shot straight through my heart. Now we're together and never apart. I might not have a diamond ring, but I'm his queen, he can do anything. He changed my life, I'm so grateful, he made it right. Been down this road, unlock the door.
I love it, Tasha. I'm somebody. Don't tell me I ain't anybody. By God, bless God, I'm somebody. I said, I somebody. You know, I know what it is for people to try to make you think you're nobody. Come on. Listen, I'm delivered and I'm free and I forgive everybody. But, you know, people make you feel like you don't forgive them when you speak of your experiences. If that was the case, we could throw away our Bibles. Because God tells us about David. God told us about Moses. You know, so how do you deal with haters? And there are haters. I'm not sorry. There are people who will hate you because your hair is curly.
That's right.
There are people that will hate you because you have on blue shoes. Tasha, you can go out and get a new pants outfit and walk up in the church sharp as you can be. Got your eyes looking right, got your earrings, and got your hair just looking just right. You done went to the mall and got this sharp two-piece outfit, pants suit. Then you get up and preach, there's going to be somebody saying, look at her, she thinks she's anointed, but she got on pants. A woman shouldn't wear that which pertaineth to a man. Oh, Lord. Tasha, how do you deal with that?
Well, you know, today, it's funny you said that. Today, I was working on writing a song called Throw Your Hands Up for Your Hater.
Oh.
And throw your hands up, meaning praise God for your haters. Because the enemy is basically, your haters is your footstool. And they just keep you going up higher. They just keep you getting better. Because if you didn't have haters, you wouldn't probably push yourself to do what you do even more. So that's
yeah.
how I would look at it. You know, thank God for my haters. Thank God. Throw my hands up and praise God for my haters because they keep me wanting to do better because it's obviously I'm doing something right. So, therefore, I got to keep on perfecting this thing. You know, that's
yeah.
how I would look at it.
Tasha, I was in one of the meetings, and you know your brother now.
Right.
I was in a meeting one time, and this young preacher jumped up. And he broke out with a song. He said, praise him with me now, hate on me later. Don't you ever do that. He said, praise him with me now, hate on me later. I said, brother, my God. You know,
yeah.
Joseph never would have been who he became if it wasn't for his brothers. You know,
yes.
and have
yes.
you ever seen, have you ever, we're going to get, this is raw tonight, so if your stomach is weak and you're listening, these 2 hours are going to be the rawest hours that you have ever heard. You know what, Joseph had some brothers that envied him because of his spiritual gift. Now,
yes.
you know what, Tasha, people will say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers of the darkness. I understand that. We do not wrestle against John, against Buckwheat, you know, baby kids. But let me tell you something. We don't wrestle with them, but sometimes we dance with them.
Mm-hmm.
We work with them.
Right.
And God knows we go to church with them.
Amen. That's
David,
right.
David said it was the people that walked into the sanctuary with me.
Yes, it is.
So let's don't get so deep until we ignore the fact, because the scripture says we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do deal with the devices. And you need a strategy to know that it's not brother so and so that's my enemy,
right?
You know, and enemies, you need to stop acting like the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Now that mm-hmm. was deep. If you say you love the Lord, it doesn't make sense for you to be on the left side of the fence.
Right.
Have you ever
right.
seen folks,
right.
everybody wrong but them?
You better believe it.
I'm going to leave that one alone before I snap, crackle, and pop. Some people are so self-righteous until everybody's
yeah.
wrong for them. That's why when people come to me and say, look, Roger, I've been divorced, I've been this or that, I don't snug up my nose and look at them like they are a UFO or something. I look at them and I say to them, welcome to the club of life.
Right. Amen.
Life are,
that's it.
What is life? Four letters with a big if in the middle.
I like that. Right.
There's two things that you can believe that's going to happen to you. Number one, you're going to mess up.
Okay.
You can holler, he's able to keep me from falling. He is able.
He
but
is.
you're gonna make people listen. If
That's
I
right.
did if I didn't make wrong choices and bad decisions, I wouldn't be wiser than I once was.
Right.
Marvin Sapp wrote a song, I'm Stronger, I'm Wiser. How could he say, Tasha, that he was stronger because he'd been weak?
That's right.
How could he say that he was wiser? Why? He's been a fool.
Amen.
You remember you were just a baby at the age of 14. I preached my first message,
mm-hmm.
and it was don't be a fool.
Why?
Matthew 25, I talked about the 10 virgins. They were all virgins. I don't care how virtuous we think we are. There's some fools in the bunch.
That's right. That's right.
Go ahead, Tasha.
No, you
don't. I just, you know, and I want to encourage you because I've seen many of your trials and your tests, and I've always tried to be the brother that could be reason with, you know, and you have evolved into a powerful, powerful woman. I remember, folks, ladies and gentlemen, when my baby sister did not sing, too shy to sing, but I've always told you there's something in you, Tasha. We got other callers calling in, Tasha. I've always told you that there was something about you that I believed in, and I am so glad, Tasha, that you never gave up on what you knew that God gave you. So for people that are listening, how could people, again, get a hold of you, Tasha? And I see you having meetings and concerts. What do you plan to do with this anointing that you have?
Well, I plan to do some traveling and try to hit up some cities, different places in Indiana, and minister in songs and as well as evangelism and just wherever God leads. You know, I just want to do whatever God is leading me to do. And I have the website Reverb Nation under Renee Owens P, and you also can go to Facebook and hear the song I'm Somebody. I have a link on Facebook, and Lord willing, I'll be completing a CD I'm working on, Lord willing, this year. So more music to come, and just want to take what God has given and give it to someone else to build them up and let them know that God loves them, and it's time to just go forth and do what God has set out for you to do.
Wonderful. Is there a phone number that people can call you, Tasha?
Yes, there's also a phone number. I can be reached at, it's area code 317-910-1900.
Wonderful. Stick with me for a while. I do believe we have our dear friend. She's a regular guest on Taking Control of Your Life, and you got a chance to meet her. It was so many people last time on. The prophetess Sylvia Browning out of California. God bless you.
God bless you. I tried to dial in early, praise God, and I got the text, and I was like, okay, God, let me hurry up and be a blessing, and I was preparing a meal, and I hurried up, and by the speed of the Lord, I was able to get on early. So God is good. Hi, woman of God, Tasha, how you doing? And I love you, Owensby, Katrina, and Roderick. You guys are just out of this world.
Praise
God.
Praise God. Praise God. To God be the glory.
Amen.
You all have not had a chance to talk to each other. My queen is on with me also. God bless you, Queen Katrina.
Bless you. I'm just sitting back listening and interceding, and wonderful to hear what I'm hearing. It's such a wonderful show. The rawness, the transparency. It's what people need to really get over and to understand what God can bring you through. Tasha, you're doing such a wonderful job.
Praise the Lord. Praise Him. To God be the glory.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, I tell you what, anyone that wants to just share, woman of God, what's in your heart for Tasha today, this evening, Sylvia Browning.
I heard and I could see, it's just like God is just raining over her. You know how when you're little and you're able to, when you're in kindergarten and the teacher gives you that first jar of glitter and you just go crazy with it? It's like God is just raining glitter of gold over her.
Right.
And
my
that's
God.
What I see, and that's a powerful place to be at.
My
bless,
Lord.
Bless.
I can see that, too.
Mm-hmm.
My God. Hallelujah.
And I hear the Lord saying that His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient.
That's good. Thank you.
Thank you, woman
of God. Thank you. Oh, you're welcome. God loves you. You're the apple of His eyes. You are the apple of His eyes. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I have one more thing to say. You're very humble and very soft-spoken on the phone or on radio or in television, and you are going to be on television. And I also hear there is a lion that is in you, a lioness. And when the lion, you can hear a female lion just as loud as a king of a lion. And you can hear a lioness, but I hear the Lord saying, the roaring of a lion is rising up in you.
My God.
Amen. I know you're speaking under the anointing of God.
Thank
praise
you.
God for His word. Praise
Thank
Him, praise
you.
Him, praise Him.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
We're in agreement.
Thank you, God. Thank
That's
you.
Powerful.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
yes.
It is.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And
Hallelujah.
I hear the Lord saying the reason why, because when someone is invading the territory of God, you raise up and you rise up and you literally stop them with your voice. That's what I hear the Lord saying.
God knows that's true. Praise God. I am a witness.
God is good. I just
yes,
I. Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are in the midst of such counsel. You that are listening, know this, that we are here for you. And 818-431-8553. If you have any questions concerning your life, we're dealing with spiritual issues, real life issues through the Word of God. And you are so welcome to call us. And the team here is well able through Jesus Christ, to Him be glory, to give you answers concerning your faith. I want to ask you all something, all three of you women of God. I must be a blessed man to have mighty women of God all the time. Glory to God. Don't no preacher be jealous of me. Praise God. Praise God.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I remember in my younger, and I'm still young, but teenage years, I would ask the Lord, how come most revivals that God had me in, there were women pastors, and I didn't understand it. You know, when you're in elementary school, if you're around too many women, they'll call you a little wimp. But it's just the opposite in the spirit, because the women of God are so unique in God, until it takes a special man to deal with all of that nature and that energy. I'm going to give you an example. My son, and you that know Roderick Jr., he's so laid back and he's so calm. And I and him can be in the house and with our son Elisha, and everything is so wonderful and quiet. I can hear the birds singing, and I can just see the leaves falling and the wind blowing the leaves. But as soon, glory to God, as my daughter step in the house, it looks like the four winds have came in, and the energy of the house changes. Praise God. Y'all probably forgot that when you were younger, but women carry such an energy. That's what I'm saying. And women carry that life force. That's right. Since I have all three of you, talk to the people about being a woman in the midst of challenging times, whether it's ministry, whether it's marriage, whether whatever. Y'all go with this. Praise God.
Let the woman of God know that everything she spoke was a confirmation that was already spoken, and I just knew that it was on point. That's just what I wanted to say before I forget it. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thank you. God is awesome.
Yes.
Amen. I was just going to say, being a woman, and especially this time, this is what I'm learning, and it's so funny to me. And when I say funny, I mean peculiar. Because growing up, I'm the oldest child. And when you grow up and you are taught one thing, you're taught a thing all your life, and that's when you're not in Christianity. So you live by society's rules. Society's laws, society's the way the makeup of society is. But when you come into the kingdom of God, it's like, I remember the song, I'm a soldier in the armor of the Lord. Well, being a soldier, when you go into the army or another military force, you go to boot camp first. And when you go to boot camp first, they go in to destroy the thought process that you had before entering into the military, in order to build you up into the place that you need to be in order to have success in whatever it is you're doing.
That right. energy that you have as a woman, you have been geared and you've been taught to just be on your emotions. So what I'm hearing is you come into a house of peace where the men of God are just sitting in their comfort zones, you know, and then the woman can just come in. I remember being a teenage girl coming in with all this array of energy, and my mother told me one time, your energy is zapping me. And I said, what are you saying? I'm just happy. It was static almost, like, well, you can, you know, you can walk and you can rub your foot against the carpet and shock somebody. That's what it was. So in boot camp, it breaks down the very essence of society in order to build you up into a kingdom thought process, if that makes sense to anyone.
Oh, yes.
A kingdom thought process in order to be coherent. This is what this scripture just came to my mind. The love of God, you can comprehend with all saints.
Yes.
There's no male or female in the spirit. So if you're in that energy of a person, you know what I'm saying? If you're in the energy of a female and you're not in the energy, female again with the emotionalism, if you're not in the love of God, you are not flowing where you can comprehend with all the saints. I hope that made sense.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's good. That's real good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hallelujah.
How does someone else feel about this one? The energy of a woman.
Well,
will come to my spirit. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Tasha.
Well, I would just, what came to me really quick. Women, we set the atmosphere even in our homes.
Yes.
Among our children, those that are married, among our husbands, we set the atmosphere, and if our spirit is not right, then the atmosphere in the home will not be right. No matter how much the man's spirit is on point, if the woman, her spirit is not connected with the man, even if his is on point, then the whole atmosphere is messed up. And I believe that's why God sent the woman to be a helpmeet to the man, because she has to be in agreement. Even her spirit has to be in agreement for things to flow well, for things to even flow well, even financially, for things not to be hindered financially. They have to be on one accord, and so her spirit has to be right. Her spirit has to be connected with her husband, or things will not be right. That's just so amazing, vice versa, but that's just so amazing to me how the woman can have that much power to make or break things, even in a relationship, as well as the spiritual. When Eve came on the scene with Adam, she broke things. It wasn't God gave the commandment to Adam, but the woman was not in agreement with Adam. So she broke what God had intended for them. She destroyed what God had intended for them to be. Because he yielded to her spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So a woman really she's just so powerful. She plays a powerful part in many things. It's just, that's amazing. So that's what came to me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's
Amen.
Good. That's good.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Woman of God?
I'm in agreement with Katrina, and the woman of God, Tasha, as well. There's two things that came to mind was how a molecule can change when it's being I'm not a scientist, but the Lord was just showing me how the changing of molecules and atoms are affected, whether it's water. And we all know that atoms are in everything, you know, the water, the food, and, you know, anything that's a living organ has an atom. Well, when a woman that is under the anointing of God not only can change the atmosphere by her presence, but also, as the woman of God last spoke, Tasha, by the words that she speaks. But not only that, here's the third thing, the way a woman carries herself, the way she moves, the way she looks, the way she sits down. If she's sitting upright, she can make a gesture with her finger and change everything. And it's amazing. And also, when a woman who has been under, has been fasting and praying and been in the presence of the Lord, I believe when Queen Sheba came to Solomon, she fasted and prayed because when he looked upon her, he fell in love with her. Esther was a woman that had been preparated by the Lord and also by her uncle Mordecai. So when she entered into the chamber, she immediately, by her soft-spoken word, the king said, "You beguiled me," and he hadn't even looked upon her. So women of greatness who have come, who have been prepared by God himself, has been able to change every situation, whether it was the pit or the palace. And I love that about God, because and the third thing is, a woman can put on different hats and take on that character.
Wow.
Amen.
That's true.
Yeah.
Don't y'all stop
there.
Yes.
Whether she's a militant, whether she's a judge,
yes,
a jury, an
yes,
executioner, because a woman will take you out, and Deborah is a prime example. And she could be your lover, and she can be your worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. That's why the scripture says about a woman, a wise woman, build a house, but a fool can suck it down with her very hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple thing, and the scripture, Tasha brought it up earlier, that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord.
Yes.
Yes. The fear of the Lord. If we have not wisdom, where are we?
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of the scripture that says the wisdom cries out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear a baby cry, you automatically want to listen to it. But wisdom is crying out, and so many don't even reach out for it, don't beckon for it, don't receive it, or don't accept it.
They don't.
Because of this thing called pride. We think we know.
That's right. And you know what? And I was going to, what you just mentioned about how wisdom stands at the door and she's crying out. And when you said that a woman can tear down a house or build it, well, the word of the Lord also says in Proverbs that a woman can be a brimstone around a man's neck or a crown upon his head.
Yes.
Also, the word of the Lord says that a woman can bring out a fool or a man in a man, or bring out a king. And I tell you, that is such a powerful position. And a lot of women have abused it, and I'm serious, and have used it for her own gain. A lot of women have been so abused that they abuse their spouse, their husband.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just women being abused, but spouses. The man of the house has been derailed, have been removed from his authority, been removed. He don't even know he the priest anymore, because certain women have been very scornful with their mouth, you know, and rejecting their husband. I'm going to go there. I hope all those that's listening.
Yes.
And have rejected their husband, don't want to make love to him during the day or in the evening or in the night, because they're using all their bodies and all that energy and all that God has given them for a purpose of evil rather than of good.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's right.
And there's a quieter spirit that is just as dangerous, one that will not open her mouth, but will withhold emotionalism will withhold honor. So there's a quiet spirit that a woman doesn't have to be loud with her mouth or go off on a man. She can withhold the very thing that the man desires.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's a lot of women like that who have just rejected the man's desire.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes off to when there's a situation that comes up in the home, the man is looked upon as the enemy, or he's looked upon as the bad person because this woman who has done all this turmoil has been behind a closed door, and then she knows how to put on a nice face, or she looks sad like she's been abused when the man has been the one who has been abused emotionally and spiritually. And if a man comes out and says, well, this woman has done something to me, and then, come on, we've heard about the situation with Lionel Richie and his wife. He only said about what had happened physically, and people called him a punk or a wimp because he brought it out. Well, there's a lot of men who will cover a woman and says that she's a queen or that she's his queen or how she is just the ultimate wife when he is really covering her and making her look good when she is really the booger bear. She's the one who's causing destruction in the household and making sure that the children following the same pattern of footprints that she's followed in because she has no love or honor to even give out to her husband or her children.
Wow.
Can I break in here?
Yes, please.
I believe with all my heart that Jesus just came through three women. Praise God.
Praise God.
Y'all missed that.
Amen.
Y'all
Amen.
Missed that. Let me say something.
Yes.
Can I say this, Queens?
Definitely.
God created a man to bring balance.
Yes, he did.
He created a woman to keep that balance in the home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you all are just blessing me. And the men that are listening now, if you are a true king, you're flipping over right now. You're standing up shouting like you're looking at a football game. Because what I'm going to do, and I hear the Spirit of God, for the next tomorrow, 2 hours, we are going to throw out a lifeline to the families. Because there's a spirit of Elijah. Not talking about a man. The spirit of Elijah is here right now. And this is the balance that will deliver God's people from the unbalance, which is a false balance, and a false balance is an abomination. That's why we have same-sex marriages now.
Yes.
That's why we have that. I've been told by some men that I'd rather be with a man than to go through hell with trying to compete with a woman.
Oh my God.
Let me tell you something. I'm talking from 32 years of ministry. The greatest revivals have been when the women and men come to one conclusion. That they are not being who God made them to be in the home.
Amen.
We have a bunch of confused boys because daddy has no honor.
Mm.
We have a bunch of confused girls because mama has no honor.
Mm.
Now I'm going to show you something. Honor belongs to the man, to the woman, to the child.
Yes.
Now people need to read again. God told the man to honor the woman.
Yes.
He told the woman to honor the man.
Yes.
He told the child, Ephesians 6 and 2, honor your father and mother. Then Paul began to write about honor belonging to both male and female, or husband and wife. Can I talk for a moment here?
Yes, talk.
Now, this is what the Lord has been trying to implement in the body of Christ. But what happened, Mark 7:13, making the word of God none effect through tradition, religion have separated the function of the man and the woman, because a lot of pastors saw, like corporate America, let me give you an example. A man can go buy a suit. It's going to cost him. But a woman can catch a sale. Talk to me, y'all. She can catch So the demonic preachers, the hirelings, I'm not talking about the ones after God's heart, but the hirelings knew all I got to do is write a book about the hell the woman is going through, and she'll buy that book. Come on, y'all.
That's right.
If you want to get, let me tell you something. If you want to get rich, write a book about, oh, poor woman went through hell.
She lost
everything she had, and this man dogged her, and that man dogged her.
That's right.
And she was the secretary working every day of the week. Okay, y'all.
That's right.
Can I share some wisdom?
It's true. Come on.
Ruth, there's only two books in the Bible written, named after a woman, Ruth and Esther.
Mm.
Now, I want y'all to think about this. I feel the anointing of the teacher now. Both these women have something in common. A Gentile marries a Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And a Hebrew woman marries a Gentile.
Mm.
Think about this. And both of these marriages were foretold, y'all, prophesied. And what God was doing, God was showing his people that he's married to the backslider.
Thank you. Wow.
See, this whole salvation is about a marriage. So God, in his infinite wisdom, he said, listen, I'll make me a man, and then I'll put the man to sleep. Are y'all ready for this? I'll put the man to sleep, and then I'll take from the man, and I'll make a woman. And women have complained about men so long until they have become men.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
They have become men. Let me tell you something, ladies. Stop complaining about your man, because God put him to sleep when he made you. He really don't know you.
That's good.
That's why the Bible said, dwell with the wife according to knowledge. A man learns knowledge from the word of God concerning the woman, because I'm going to speak for every man on earth. We don't know a woman. We don't know one thing about the woman. And here's those crazy hussies, y'all forgive me. And here's the woman mad at the man because he can't have a baby. The devil is a lie. He's not supposed to have a baby.
Mm-mm.
And then you got some women who say men are afraid of a strong woman, but yet most women want a funny man before they feel comfortable with a man. He got to act like a woman. And then we'll say, that's my girlfriend. Y'all done started me now.
If he act
weak, then he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, y'all. And grandma done handed down all these, I'm going to say it, ignorant fables.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then the preacher counseling the woman without the husband.
Mm-hmm.
Promoting the woman in the church and putting the man in the back of the church.
Yes.
It's a whole bunch of crap that's broken up the home. And I'm going to say it as boldly as I can. I have been in sin as a man of God because of this ignorance.
Whoa. That's good.
Mm. Come on.
Yes.
At a young age, the preachers were telling me, you better get a wife. You're a preacher, you're a musician, you're anointed, you need a wife. That was the wrong thing to tell me. So I'm walking around here, I'm feeling like I'm not anointed until I get a wife. I'm going to talk here.
Come on, talk about it.
I'm walking around already, with the anointing and feeling nervous because I've never had a youth. Come on here.
Yeah.
Right. Now, all of the men that I looked up to, my dad didn't tell me this, but the preachers I looked up to, you need to get married. So the first girl I got pregnant, I married her. I didn't know whether she was retarded or what. Praise God. But mm-hmm. I married her. Come
mm-hmm.
on.
That's right.
Now, right. I'm trying to be somebody in the church. Now, after I get married, I'm feeling like I'm a preacher.
Mm.
Somebody getting deliverance.
Oh, yeah.
I went through those changes, been married and divorced because of the seed that was planted in me. I felt like I was naked until I got married.
Mm.
The only time I felt like I had clothes on is until it was when I got married.
Mm.
I accepted my responsibility, and the church said God was through with me. Many preachers, because I've been divorced.
Oh, my God.
Can I really be raw, y'all?
Yes.
And some of them were bragging how they've been married for 30 years and 40 years, and they were screwing the hell out of everybody they could.
Talk about it. Oh, my God. I believe it.
And yet they were boasting and talking about, I've been married 40, 50 years. Come on, y'all.
Yes.
I don't care how long you've been married. It doesn't mean you're sanctified and Holy Ghost filled.
That's right.
I know what it is to be married and in a hotel room with the wrong woman. I wasn't singing praises. I wasn't worshiping God.
Wow.
I'm going to listen. You talk about keep it real. My name is Keep It Real.
Amen.
And then as soon as someone falls into sin, the church dogs them when they were the very one influencing them. How many young preachers we have in the church in the body of Christ married because they're trying to stay saved?
That's it. My God.
There's a whole, that's why Jesus says it's plenteous, but the laborers are few. We got more folk preaching than laboring. We got more people prophesying than laboring.
Jesus.
Come on, y'all. We got more people singing in the choir than laboring.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. We got more people doing everything, going to church, going to district meeting. I got so tired of district meeting, I was trying to figure out what's a district. We got too many meetings, y'all. And then instead of having offerings, they had auctions. Can I get a 10? Can I get a 20, 35, 40, 40 sold?
I'm sorry.
Then going in the office looking strange and coming out, whispering to the pastor, and then the pastor saying, okay, we need $40 more. Go get the hell out of here. The devil is, God is not broke.
That's right. Amen. No, he ain't.
The prophet talking. Forget. Come on, y'all. God is not broke. You had three trays. If you didn't get it then, what makes you think you're going to get it later? You know, we used to eat a candy in Chicago called Now and Later.
Yes.
I figured if you don't get it now, forget later.
Hello.
You know, a woman has to be on her, what you call it, y'all know, in order to have, she got to be ovulating, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the church has to be ovulating before they could get pregnant. You can't get an ovulating church with all of this tradition. You can't have an ovulating church with all of this false doctrine.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
trying to get her pregnant.
That's good.
And then the preacher set it up every Sunday morning talking about, I stopped by here to tell you. Stop lying. I wish you go home and stay. I'll be back in a moment. Stay with me.
You're gonna make mistakes and have a price to pay. But I ain't never seen a perfect man. Just people say by grace.
God is so good.
Yeah.
I'm thanking God for what he is doing right now. We have to restore.
Yeah.
We have to restore the old landmark. See, let me say this. There was nothing wrong with holy teaching or holiness. There was nothing wrong with the holy teaching. I'm going to say something now. Listen closely. You that are listening. There was nothing absolutely wrong with teaching holiness. But some little wrinkled person stood up and said, holiness or hell. This is raw tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a minute now. Hell don't belong with holiness. Holiness don't belong with hell. Hell was not made for the people of God. Now there is a hell, but hell was not made. See, most people gave their hearts to God under the assumption of hell.
Yes.
Heaven didn't excite them. Y'all talk to me. Heaven didn't excite them.
It.
You know what they got excited
mm-hmm.
about?
Yeah.
Not going to hell. Not going to
mm-hmm.
hell. If I go and get saved, I'm not going. Listen, God does not want anybody to love him because they don't want to go to hell. Oh, God help me.
Mm-hmm.
God did not mm-hmm. create us to serve him out of fear of going to hell.
Mm.
And what has happened, we produce a bunch of fear babies.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of fear babies. Now years have passed and you know, you heard that Jesus was coming and each generation was looking for him and it didn't come. And like a little baby and a child, when I was a little boy, Mama told me to clean up, and I saw her drive away in her car, and Dad was at work. I didn't clean up right then. I timed her. Can I be myself, y'all?
Yes.
I timed Mom and Dad, and I got it down to a science. And when my nerves said that they were coming, I put my rush on, and I hurried up, and I cleaned up, and I looked at them like I was an obedient child. But the problem was, when Mama came home, she put on a white glove, and she checked everything. Glory to God. Why did I give you that allegory and that parable? Hear me real good. When the Bible talks about the coming of the Lord, there's a word, a Hebrew-Greek word called parousia. It's where we get the word arouse. Come on.
Mm.
God is trying to arouse us. He's trying to get us stimulated and enthused. Ain't nothing worse than a man trying to, you're a married man, there's something called foreplay, y'all.
Okay.
That's called play before you do it. I'm going to have a conference in about marriage. Come on, y'all.
Yeah.
If we done play till we played out, and then folk get married, they're tired. We got a bunch of tired folk. I remember a couple got married one time, and the preacher didn't show up, and they drafted me in.
Yes, they did.
And they, baby, and I looked at this couple, and I wanted to say, you know. the boy looked tired. The woman looked tired, so I had to hurry up and counsel them.
Yes.
Didn't I, baby?
Yes, you did.
I thought if they make love like they look, somebody's going to
fall asleep.
He looked like he don't know what sex is.
Jesus.
And she looked like she's tired of it.
Yes.
And the thing ended up messed up.
Yes, it did.
I said, I'll never be drafted in again. Glory to God.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm a soldier in the army and don't even know how to tie your shoe in the Holy Ghost.
Jesus.
Okay. I'm telling everybody, before you get married, stop. Wait a minute.
Yes.
You better check him out. He may walk with a limp. And it may not be because he's his leg hurting.
That's right.
You sitting around saying, I got me a man, he cook. He may like cooking too much. You sitting around talking about, he's sweet, I know. Dark clouds may ride and stormy winds may blow. You better know what blow is. That might have been the problem. He's been blowing. And I ain't talking about a balloon. And anybody that know me, I deal with them all.
You do. Yeah. You really do.
I preached the funeral of a man that lived as a woman. And everybody looked at me like they were scared. They thought, what is he going to say now? I called him a soul. I just said soul.
Yes,
I did neutral.
Yes.
Oh. God said all souls are mine, so I figured that's what I'll use.
Amen. Amen.
And the Holy Ghost, his lover came and gave his heart to God. I'm serious. I just releasing the oil of joy that's on my life to try
yes.
to get to you. I shoot you with spiritual anesthesia and you be smiling while I'm cutting you.
Whew.
Woman came to a revival one time. This is some beans and cornbread wisdom. Can I give it to you? Mm-hmm. Woman came to revival one time. She came up to me and she was crying. Beautiful woman. She just was weeping and slobbing. And I told somebody, go get some tissue. And I said, what's your problem? She said, I'm divorced. I said, well, that happens. She said, well, you don't understand. I said, well, what happened? He left me. I said, I told you that happens. Let's deal with you. Let's bring healing. You know, my mind was like, let's bring the healing of God. She said, no, it was for him. I said, you mean as in he? But she didn't know that the boy had problems with sticks.
Jesus. What?
You better watch your child. You telling them to rub sticks together. Talking about he in the Cub Scout. Build a fire.
Oh,
and Romans 1 said they will burn. Then God, folk confused. Then God said, better to marry than to burn. This person looking cheesy and talking about, yeah, I come to set the record straight. Burn with somebody that don't look like you and don't have your departments.
Oh, God. Katrina, I would be on network if it was a live television.
Oh, God.
Y'all pray for me.
We are.
I'm on the road with a ball. Listen, with a ball
Tasha,
road.
Are you there? Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead, ladies. Because I'll be back. I'm going to drink some water. I'll be back. I'm talking. Y'all better
Brown
talk.
Tip.
Honey, you better tell them. People think they got me figured out. They don't know.
They don't know. Turn the page because it's more. Tasha, Katrina. I said, now he's going to cut them with a two-edged sword and then play Jay Moss and come back. And I thought to myself, I said, Dr. Oz ain't got nothing on Dr. Oz Osby.
No.
Not at all.
I'm going here cracking up.
Oh, God.
Help us, Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, the doctor will be back. We were in a meeting one time, and Roderick was ministering, and this was a church that, you know, they were kind of, you know, stuffy. They wanted to be, well, the pastor, it was a woman, she was kind of stuffy. Everyone else was, they wanted it. They wanted the rawness. Roderick broke out and asked the people, he's ministering to the men, and tell him to be real. You know you want some. And they were so nervous to say anything because of their leader's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a revival in Chicago, on the east side of Chicago, the southeast side of Chicago. So these are some raw young people. I mean, and some older people, but they were raw. And broke out and started singing to the men, and had the men to sing Who Left the Dogs Out. But it broke. See, it was the oil of joy, and it destroyed so much bondage to the men. It was a man who just got out of prison, came to the front of the altar and gave his life to Christ because he saw something that was truth, the reality, the realness. That he said, I'm just fresh out of prison. I needed this. Just bring him up in his spirit. The altar was filled with men weeping and giving their lives to Christ.
Wow.
Because of something that someone, the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel, the truth of who God really is. I mean, we've seen, we don't leave off the foundation.
Right.
The wisdom of God. That ministry was able to go forth, and young people, fresh, raw people were coming and giving their lives to God. because someone was not ashamed to be themselves in the gospel.
Thank you. Awesome.
Oh, and he had the Holy Ghost would allow him to have people on their preachers would be on their on the floor saying, "Help me, Holy Ghost, please tell him to stop." that's from your father, right, Tasha?
Yes.
That's a little bit of the prophet Osteen walking through the aisle.
That's right. That's right. You got to be real. You got people are looking for realness. They always saying Jesus is real, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to be real, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yes. We can't be truthful. It matters none. We can't touch anyone if we can't be truthful.
That's
the
right.
world knows a liar.
Yes, they do.
They deal with lies all the time. The world knows liars.
Yes, they do.
They want
you can look
different.
At television. You can look at it. I'm sorry, woman of God.
Mm-hmm.
You can check the ratings of a television program, and each program is going to have a different ratings. And the one program that has the highest ratings is what the most of the viewers around the world is looking at.
Yes.
If churches want to be filled up, they need to be real.
Yes.
And touch on every subject that is in this planet. Right.
Yes. The moment we stop thinking that we are human because of God's anointing, because of God's anointing, then we're messed up. I mean, Christ lived this earth as the Son of Man. The scripture clearly pointed out he was the Son of Man and the Son of God. Why did they say the Son of Man? Because he had on flesh, and he was tempted with the same things that we're tempted of daily. He's the only one who has not sinned.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that we express, and we all express that to young people and people who are in God, that we will always be tempted with something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Holy Ghost who keeps us.
That's right.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Do y'all know what? Y'all know what? I never had. Y'all be good now. Because I, you know what? Can y'all ask me at the same time, what are you going through, Apostle?
What are you going through, Apostle?
I done had enough. It's time to break out and loose the oil that's on my life. Because there's so many men and ministries that God wants to raise. See, it's not about Roger. I know I am a king. I don't care if I had if I lived in a cardboard box. I am a king with a box.
Yes. Yes.
Because a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things he possesses.
That's right.
I am mega rich. I know that I have enough money to buy 10 islands if I want it.
Mm-hmm.
But the anointing that is on our lives, I'm talking about y'all too, it is an anointing to be raw. Now, everybody can't do it because the grace that's given to me
is
not given to every man. Somebody else can't get away with what I say.
That's right.
Because I have the apostolic grace, the real one. I ain't talking to these folk that's counting fishes in a pool.
Lord help.
I'm talking about people who have the real thing.
You Coca-Cola now.
When people come to us, they'll tell you, Tasha tell you about me, I'll never get so deep. I don't care if it's 50,000, 100,000, 3 million. I don't care how many folks. Nobody would ever catch Roderick and Katrina looking like I'm looking at a UFO when folk come to talk to me.
No.
Come on. How you doing, Doc? God bless you. Get the frog out your throat, man. Get real with that crap. Looking all strange. How you doing?
I'm on the floor.
You know how you doing, Doc? You go see a doc.
Wow.
You know, Doc, what for? What is this? Let me tell you something. Clock, not Doc. God is not in this sensationalism. Trying to make people think that you're holy.
Amen.
Guess what? He said, be holy, for I am holy. It's not. It doesn't start with us. He said, you be holy because I'm holy.
Mm-hmm.
My holiness will never be, watch this, y'all. My holiness, our holiness will never be because of what we don't do or what we do. Let me give an example. I am an Owensby because of my father. I am an Owensby. I don't care if I was the greatest gangster on the planet. It would not take away from being an Owensby. As a matter of fact, people want to know your name. Come on.
Yeah.
So our holiness will never be a reflection of what sin, hear me closely, we don't commit. Now the mother sins they put under a rug. We're not talking about that. We ain't talking about that.
Okay.
Why? It is funny because sexual sins. And see, I love the subject of relationship. I was in a ministry one time, a church one time, and I just said sex, sex, sex. And that was my message, sex. Everybody shout sex.
Sex.
And some of the people couldn't hear the mother started looking at me funny. I said, don't look at me funny. You act like you just showed up. How do you think you got here?
Yes.
How do you think you got here? You think somebody just tapped your tail and you just showed up?
Yes.
Somebody was huffing, puffing, talking about God, calling that man, you know he ain't no good, talking about, oh, God. But you make up your mind. Who you going to serve? So I said I was comparing sex with faith. Hear me, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sex and faith have something in common.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
When a man, hopefully married, but let's get real, everybody doing it are not married. And then
that's
some
right.
are. Some are, but they're doing it with somebody that are or not. Whoever, however. Now listen, anywho, they're doing it. Who sound like hold on it? But look. I was letting them know that the three chambers in the male penis, there are three chambers. That's not a stick, that's blood.
I'm sorry.
And it takes, see, sperm comes from blood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also now. What do you mean sperm? Don't you know the Greek word for spirit is sperm? Sperma?
Amen.
You turn it around, it's a sperm. You are here by a sperm. All them sperms chasing you, trying to get pull you back. And you done slid through there and just showed up. It was a sperm that got you here. So the Greek word for spirit is sperma. So what God is saying, so when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive in the natural, in the carnal sense, the sperm of God.
Ooh, that's good.
How do you think Mary got pregnant?
Mm.
Because in the supernatural, spirit is equal, or wait a minute, not equal, but it is like sperm. And you think your stuff is potent, young man? What you think, you got a bat or something? That ain't nothing but a spirit in you. But you think your stuff is potent? What about God is spirit? And worship is a result of God's spirit. Spirit. It's sperm on earth, spirit in heaven. Say it with me. Sperm on earth. Spirit in heaven.
And spirit in heaven.
Hello?
Wow.
Now, here's the church problem. We must understand that which is born of spirit is spirit. And that which is born of flesh is flesh. So once we understand that sex is such a lower plane than the spirit of God, but they have something in common. We walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Or we walk by the spirit and not by the human emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And the strongest human desire is for sex.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the spirit man desires God or faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Jesus said, have faith in God. So God deals with your strongest human emotion. And he proved to Abraham, I know you are of age, but, brother, you get ready to knock the boot. You get ready to get in this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just carry yourself in there. And Abraham had a good time. He had a young'un, like the old folk used to say.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what people... And then God, the hypocrisy of the church is, that's why you got so many women that are unsatisfied, because the preacher don't want to teach about this stuff.
Mm.
Because he want to save some for himself.
Yes.
I'm talking wisdom here. You don't want the people to be free sexually. You better hear what I'm saying.
Yes.
You want a happy church, you get some happy married folks that's happy sexually. I'm going to say it again. You want a happy church? You want people to be smiling, dancing like that African on YouTube when he gave an offer?
I know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh, I do too.
Ain't none better than a church full of happy women and men, happy married
people. That's right.
And that's our vision, isn't it, Katrina?
Yes.
We're going to have churches that have some happy married folk. Because we must prepare the single women and get them to believe in that God is not through sending Boaz.
Huh.
Tell Bo to bring his ass on.
Oh, God.
I had a preacher get up in the pulpit and said, so it was trying to teach the men to be anti-sexual toward their family.
What?
Got up in church and said, women ain't got no business dressing a certain way. You supposed to be holy. The devil is a lie. I'm saved, full of the Holy Ghost, sanctified, but I like some stuff. I believe where the spirit of the Lord is, where the spirit is liberty.
You
right
know,
Jesus.
All of your five senses, he wants to take them into the spirit realm. That's what faith is. Faith is the sense to sense, to have enough sense to sense him. Shout! Galatians says, faith works by love. Your faith can never rise above your love. You will never
have great faith until you have great love. Faith works better. Oh, shout hallelujah. Some of you don't have great faith because you're too stingy. You don't have enough love. I love you. See, you can't even say it back. I love you.
Prophetess Sylvia, you were saying?
I was going to say, let me say this. You have really blessed me, to you and Katrina and Minister Tasha, Prophetess Tasha. I want to say, you have blessed me.
To God be the glory.
Because I had just had a conversation with another pastor, really close sister of mine in the Lord, about sexuality. You know, the dudes, you know, bed is undefiled, and my future husband, we talk about everything, and
yes.
Sex, you know, what we want, how he want to do it, and I don't mind saying this here, you know, is we're real open, and
okay.
And I said, right. And so now it's been, I have not been married for 23 years, and
yes.
So now, you know, the Lord has brought, you know, this awesome man in my life, and our communication is just off the chain. I mean, it's out there and outer space and back again. And so what I want to say also, as you were speaking about the Spirit of the Lord and how the Spirit means sperm in the Hebrew word, and what as you were speaking, it made a lot of sense to me, because that's why David has so many wives. That's why Solomon has so many wives. A lot of the men had concubines or wives, and it was common. I mean, I was like, okay. They, I mean, not only producing and taking dominion over the earth just like Adam and Eve did, in, you know, before the fall of the garden, and then also when the flood took place, when Noah time, but the sexuality and the lovemaking, God designed all of that for a purpose and a plan.
Yes, He did.
It's a very intimate relationship between two people, man and a woman, and also an intimate relationship between man and God.
Amen.
I love it.
Tasha, you're so quiet.
Oh, I'm just sitting over here just enjoying it. I'm just like, you. Awesome. I mean, it needs to be heard. It needs to be heard. It's the truth. It's real. It's the truth. The truth will make you free.
It sure will.
Y'all know why.
And I pray that it's...
Y'all know why people in the church, you see them, everybody look mad. Folk are, let me tell you something. Folk are deprived. Because you got women walking around and talking about, I'm married to Jesus. Jesus doesn't want to do that to you. Leave him, get off him. You talking about, I hugged him. That's nasty. Jesus doesn't want to do that to you. Talking about, we in the bed together. The devil is alive.
Talking about,
he's repositioning me. He's trying to reposition you. I want to help you. 317-400-3693. And if your church is dead, I would love to come to it.
Yeah.
We do need a revival. We need to get some of these women married.
Yes, and men.
And men.
Yeah.
I'm not going to leave them in now. We need to get them married.
We're going to decree that tonight.
That's the
matter
word.
Of fact, I lose the spirit of marriage.
Yay.
Hallelujah.
She said, yay. That was a little. Katrina.
Yes.
Remember, we were in a meeting. Tasha and Prophetess Sylvia, and woman of God, Tasha, and I had all the ladies, this is on DVD, stand up. I told them all to stand up. All the women stood up. The men were looking. As a matter of fact, I think I'll play some of that tomorrow because we're going to deal with, listen, I'm telling y'all, tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern, we're going to deal with marriage, dating, think. Now, I had all the women stand up in the church, and I told the women to put their hands on their side and turn to the right.
Yes.
Put the other hand on the other side and lean over. Then I had all the women, I said, stretch your hands forward and then drop it at the wrist. Drop it. And I told the men, if y'all do that, y'all need deliverance. And I told them, I said, listen, I'm not against people who, I'm not bashing, because if you know me, and to God be the glory, we deal with all people.
Right.
But watch this. I told the ladies, you do not walk with your shoulders. Boaz is not coming if you're walking with your shoulders.
Right.
Men, you do not walk with your hips. I mean, they assist you, but they're not supposed to run the touchdown.
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
And then, you know, I'm going to say this, and you know what? It's because of my grace.
Mm-hmm.
You can play a love song. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have some love songs tomorrow to play. Katrina, we're going to go there, okay, Queen?
Let's do it.
Listen.
Amen. I can't wait.
We're going to have a marriage relationship seminar tomorrow night for 2 hours.
Amen.
If you are a woman and you've been in need, and you're a man, you've been in need, or you're dating and you're in need, you need to make sure that you're listening tomorrow.
Amen. Yes.
Because deliverance don't just come by being, I'm on the altar, Lord, won't you bless my soul, all the cheated. You drive yourself crazy. There was a man on the altar, he was saying Jesus so fast, and this boy almost had a seizure. And the folks thought he was speaking in tongues. Almost killed that boy trying to make him get Jesus.
Jesus.
This boy's talking about my tongue hurts. You know you talking too fast when your tongue hurts.
Okay. Lord help.
We going to get some deliverance the old-fashioned way. So we have a lot of unsatisfied. Let me tell you something. You could play a nice love song. Because Katrina, my queen and I, we slow dance.
Yes, we do.
We have our conferences on relationship and marriage and dating, family conference. We slow dance. Now, if you so deep in the Holy Ghost, you can't wear your clergy and talk about, honey, let's slow dance.
Come on now.
That thing choking you anyway. Come on.
You going to play for Barry White?
Well, thank you. I feel the love of God.
Yes.
Tell you something. And then you got these demonic preachers telling folk what they can do and not do in the bed. I got one thing to say. Marriage is honorable, and anything that you do with your wife is honorable. Love you.
We're going to make mistakes and have a price to pay.